Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, part two of our conversation from New York. Well, John, for part two of our podcast from New York, you covered the road trip there in Cincinnati and New York, and you had a chance to talk to the Giants general manager, Bobby Evans, and you can only imagine how he's feeling these days. I got to give him a lot of credit for the way he handled the interview and the comments that he made, because he was very upfront about, you know, being disappointed about what has happened, and he's not really sugarcoating anything right now. What were your thoughts after you had a chance to talk to him?
No, you're right. It was really the first sit down I or other newspaper/internet reporters have had with him since they really started going in the tank. And going back to, I guess, the Cincinnati series when they lost every game in terrible fashion, and then the first two in New York. And listen, I remember covering Al Rosen. Let's start there.
Uh-huh.
And Al Rosen, based on that particular day, didn't matter what month it is, didn't matter what where they were in the standings, if a guy had a terrible game and he had options, chances are he was getting optioned after the game. I mean, he pulled the trigger that quickly.
Wow.
He was really an emotional guy. And this was when Roger Craig managed in the late 80s, early 90s. And he just didn't have much patience at all. Now you fast forward to these folks and Brian Sabian and then Bobby Evans. Well, Bobby Evans, he you just look at him and he's always, you know, he's not really like Sabian. Sabian always has that game face, right? He could explode any time, right? You know, Billy Beane kind of the same way. Billy comes off relaxed a lot of times, but
right.
But sometimes you see the other side of it,
that
the darker
intensity.
Side, right?
Yeah, there's intensity there.
Yeah, yeah. But with Bobby Evans, I don't think I've ever seen him mad. I've never
no.
seen him throw things.
No.
And you know whether that's good or bad, that's just the fact. So now, in this losing streak, we're sitting with him in the dugout shortly before game time. Giants and Mets, and you know we ask him some important questions about the future and the positions and the roles and the consequences of this poor start and what it'll mean. Will they sell at the deadline? Will they buy at the deadline? Will they maybe move along a Beattie a little quicker like they did with Arroyo? So these are all questions that we threw at him, and the answers basically came down to, listen, it's May, there's plenty of time, we have core players in both the lineup and the rotation that got us multiple championships, and the anticipation is these people who might have started slowly, their numbers are eventually going to hit their career norms, and that will get them from an also-ran to a team that could get to 500. And then from there, who knows? But he stressed the importance of winning more at home. He stressed the importance of playing 500 ball on the road. The keys to success, right, for any team.
Yeah.
And that's just not things that they've been doing. So those two things, you know, winning more at home, winning 500 on the road, and having the core players kind of step up a little bit, like Buster Posey has in recent days. Three home runs in three games. He's had the batting average, but the RBIs and the extra base hits haven't really been there. And maybe now he's coming into his own. He did say one interesting thing after the Wednesday game at his locker at Citi Field. he said his, if you remember the classic Buster Posey swing, he's got that front leg kick, mm-hmm. you know, anticipating a pitch. He gets his momentum. He gets his load. He turns.
Arroyo has that going, too.
He did. Yes, he did. But Posey is cutting down on that a little bit. And he said it's not that he's not going to have it in the distant future or the near future, but for now, he's got the lower leg kick, if there's a leg kick at all. And that's kind of got him some extra punch here. And maybe that softens the blow on the legs or gives him more time to decide to swing or not. You know, it's all about timing. So with him, he's kind of cutting back on that. So anyway, those are the things that Evans talked about. And in terms of miscalculations, you know, he's not going to sugarcoat it. He mentioned that it was Mac Williamson and Jared Parker, and the fact that both are hurt kind of puts them, you know, in the hole. And now you're relying on 30-something outfielders, journeymen, you know, folks who've been around, been on plenty of teams, Justin Ruggiano. Michael Morris is more of a first baseman, but did play a little bit of outfield over the years. And they just don't have anybody in the left field spot that they were hoping for. And Jared Parker, after a pretty good spring, you know, after the first week and a half, he got hurt, and we haven't seen him. And Mac Williamson seems to be healthy and playing again, but his timing is off. He's striking out a lot, and who knows when we'll see him. So for now, there's still a hole in left field. And whether it's Nunez you know, now they have Ruggiano, who knows? It's kind of a day-to-day thing. And the defense kind of suffers because of it, because Nunez is not really a left fielder.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense. And when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower elite commercial and elite residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. First of all, the thing that stands out and one of the losses on this trip was the first inning of Jeff Samardzija's start, when there was that liner to left and Nunez just couldn't catch it. He couldn't even knock it down and went all the way back to the warning track and turns into a triple. And that made me think back to spring training, John, when Brian Sabian, I did an interview with him, and he was talking about Parker and how, you know, as long as he handles left field defensively, and I'm thinking to myself, well, how hard is that? I mean, he's an outfielder. I mean, we're more worried about how many strikeouts is he going to have? How many home runs is he going to hit? I wasn't even thinking about defense. And now I am thinking about defense, because you throw a guy like Nunez out there, and he's mostly been an infielder in his career. You throw Belt out there, he's mostly been a first baseman, and your defense is going to suffer a little bit. And I don't know how these pitchers handle that, because they can't afford right now, the way things have been going, to have mistakes defensively. And the Giants have always been known as a solid defensive team. So left field now is looming as this issue where it's not just the offense. And that, of course, has been a big problem. But it's also whoever you throw out there. I mean, they need to play some defense, too, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what this team has been built on for years, pitching and defense. But they have sort of hid people out there. If there's ever a position at the Giants Park where you could hide a guy, it would be left field. Certainly not in right with the wall. Certainly not in center with all the room,
right,
including in right center. So let's go down the list, right? Bonds has played left. I mean, he's well past his prime when he played left. Didn't move so well. Pat Burrell played left. They won a championship on his watch. Ichikawa played left, and he was a first baseman. So a lot of guys have been thrown out there. You're right. I mean, but you would want at least average defensive play out there. And you know, Nunez is an infielder, a career infielder, a shortstop. More games at short than any other position. And he's kind of evolved into a pretty good defensive third baseman, especially late last season and, you know, in the early going this season. But he's, a man without a position now that Brandon Crawford is coming off the disabled list and moving to shortstop. And Christian Arroyo is probably going to be the permanent third baseman because Bochy loves to have him in the lineup. He's played him every game. He's been up from AAA and spoke Wednesday about trying to give him a day. But, yeah, defense in the outfield is not their strength, and that goes across the board because the other players out there, when Span is healthy and when Pence is healthy, listen, they're well into their 30s. So it's a plus just having them in the lineup, but it's a bonus if they do well defensively. They're looking for Span to ignite the team as a leadoff hitter and obviously Pence to produce in a 3-4-5 spot in the lineup.
Well, I guess for me, and I understand what Bruce Bochy's trying to do, he's trying to get offense any way he can. I mean, he'll throw anybody out there in left field if they actually give him some offense because, you know, you look at the numbers, John. You mentioned the record earlier. It's tough when you're near the bottom of the National League in all these offensive categories. You got to figure out something. And I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Ruggiano is with the Giants now, but you're going to have to figure out another solution. And I don't know if Mack Williamson down the road is that solution or who it is or if there's a trade, but it seems like it's going to be a season-long problem. And you can't just pin it on one batter in the lineup, but that is just looming right there. I mean, you didn't figure going into the season you were going to be experimenting so much in left field. And with Span hurt, you're Gorkys, Hernandez in center, you're just not getting enough offense from at least those two spots.
Yeah. And don't expect Ryan Braun to save the day anytime soon. They're not going there for all kinds of different reasons. But in terms of that deadline, and in terms of left field, asking Evans the question, does the team have to prove to you that it can be good enough to even warrant add-ons at the trade deadline? And he says, yeah, that's always been our mentality. Mm-hmm. The team has to sort of prove to management that it's built for the long haul and with an addition or two or three could get over the hump and become a playoff team. Well, this team is nowhere near that right now. So you're not going to see anybody added on in terms of, you know, a free agent to be or a veteran if the team remains the worst in baseball, even the worst in the division. So until further notice, there's no trade talk about upgrading.
Right.
in terms of, and I'm talking about, you know, a big-time player that's going to help them immediately. But, you know, they might make a trade. Who knows? The A's seem to make, pick up designated for assignment guys every other day, right? So there are always people who are being DFA'd. There are always people who might be available out there somewhere. And the Giants aren't usually a team that does that. They mostly stay in-house. But in-house hasn't really gotten it done. But who knows? There might be a minor leaguer or two that they might just throw out there just for the heck of it and see if it's a better alternative.
We'll get back to the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cal Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com, for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs. Well, you could tell there's a sense of urgency, but it is a calm, measured approach that they have. And before we finish up here, John, I wanted to share a story, and maybe you have one, because you mentioned that Bobby Evans is pretty calm. He doesn't look like a guy who's going to throw things around. Well, one my story about a guy who really kind of lost it in the clubhouse was in the minor leagues, Dave Mackamer, who actually for a while there was the Giants' double-A manager in Richmond. And he was managing a triple-A Rochester when I was there, and I came down after the game to try to talk to him to get some, you know, quotes for our post-game or whatever we were doing, some interview sound bites. And he acted like nothing happened, but when I looked around in his office, everything was thrown all over the place. His hair was disheveled. I knew that he just lost it because they had lost 10 games in a row or whatever it was. So you know what? Every once in a while, I think a manager just loses it. I mean, have you been around that where, you know, even though it's a mild-mannered guy, it's seemingly mild-mannered, you still know that, you know, they're so frustrated with having a tough start like this.
I broke in as a beat writer in San Diego with none other than Dick Williams. So don't tell me about anybody else.
And tirades. Then,
a couple managers later, I graduated to Larry Boa.
Tirade
so,
City.
So I had two guys. And this was before these guys were required to go to the media room within 5 or 10 minutes after the game and keep their hat on and keep their jersey top on and say all the right things because they don't want it out there in social media. They're not going to rip a guy. They're not going. So they cleaned all that stuff up. But back in the day, it was pretty raw, pretty juicy stuff. And they said what was on their mind, and there wasn't a camera in their face, and there wasn't anyone from the team asking them softball questions. So it's a lot different now. But Williams, I mean, I remember, you know, we'd all gather in his office after a tough game, and he said, "You all in here?" I said, "Yeah, Dick, we're in here." He says, "Well, you saw it, you write it," and then stormed off. And that was it. That was a whole post-game interview. You saw it, you write it. And then I graduated to Larry Boa, and his first year as a manager, 1987, and he just comes up from the Las Vegas Stars, where he was ejected pretty much every other game. So he has his first press conference, and he says, "Listen, I've mellowed, I've cooled, I know when to pat a guy, I know when to push a guy, you know, I got it now, okay?" So they open a Candlestick Park, the Padres do, and the Giants sweep them. So in the visiting clubhouse after Game 3, Larry Boa, who got ejected in that third game, by the way, his first comment was, "I'm horse bleep. The coaches are horse bleep. The players are horse bleep. We're all bleeping horse bleep." And it didn't get any better from there.
And that was your exact quote right there in your story.
I used the quote.
Exactly.
I used the quote.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of Tommy Lasorda stories. And, of course, like you said, Dick Williams, Larry Boa. But I don't know. By the end of the year, maybe Bruce Bochy will have some Larry Boa-type actions by the end of the year. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. With the heart episodes, a very serious thing.
Right.
And there was a joke. He joked after the Wednesday game, heading for their sixth straight loss, and they pull it out in the ninth. And he joked that these guys are testing me. And then Buster Posey said after the game, "No, we're not. We like them too much. We wouldn't do that to them. That's just the way we play." So, but yeah, you're not. I mean, in fact, Bochy himself played for both Dick Williams and Larry Boa. I covered
that's
Bruce
right
when
yeah.
he was a Padre, so he knows that side of the game. He knows what it was like. He said Dick Williams never talked to him, you know, until it was the time to be sent down to the minors, and that was it. That was my conversation with the manager. He, you know, you never saw him in the clubhouse. You never saw him talk with players. That's just the way it was back then. And Larry Boa tried to be a little bit more modernized. But, you know, he's old school, too. And, you know, he has a temper, and, you know, you don't want to get in his way. And he'll let you know. You know, obviously, you know, covering Tony La Russa, same way. He didn't have patience for silly questions, which managers get quite frequently now. And that's just the way the business is. And I just respect Boa so much because he puts up a lot of stuff, and he you know, looks seriously, he looks into the camera and answers the question. But, you know, a lot of times you sort of have to wonder because he's old school as well, but he's transformed into a Hall of Fame manager who does things right. And that's kind of the reason players like him so much is because he's not so emotional one way or the other. Tim Flannery, I remember Tim Flannery, when Dick Williams retired or quit or was fired, whatever he was in San Diego, Tim Flannery's quote was, you know, if I had my way with Dick Williams, I would run him over with a truck. I mean, that's what he thought of his own manager. So you never hear guys talk about Bochy like that, right?
No, great manager.
He's a little different kind of guy.
Yeah, he's not going to panic. But it's not going to get easier. You got the Reds coming in for four games, a team that just swept the Giants at home. Then you got the Dodgers coming in, and then the Giants have to go to St. Louis and the Cubs for four. So it's not getting any easier.
And in the Nationals later on, yeah.
Yeah, the Nationals, it's just not getting easier. But look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, John. Have a good trip back from New York, and we'll see you during this upcoming homestand.
Sounds good, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
That's part two of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. We'll catch up with him again in a couple of weeks. Join us again on Friday. We'll have another guest here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.